It is lovely being here on this Palm Sunday. Now, let's get into the material so we don't, I'm just looking at the time, we don't rush at the end and not give opportunity for people to respond and to pray. And the story of Palm Sunday is told in all four Gospels. The story of Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the different Gospels come from sort of different angles and speak to different groups. And so we want to take this morning the version that John has, Gospel of John. Do you want me? Am I meant to do this? Okay, well, okay, here we are, the Gospel of John. And but before we just launch into the Palm Sunday action, I thought it'd be good just to look at a couple of verses before, three verses before. And this is how it goes. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. So we get the scene, don't you? So Lazarus has been raised from the dead. And this was no little miracle. It wasn't like dead for 5 minutes and then came back to life again. He'd been dead for 4 days. I've got competition here, haven't I? And he'd been dead for 4 days. And eventually, sort of as Jesus gets to him, takes the crowd there, he speaks. And Lazarus comes back to life again. You remember the grave clothes and the disciples having to unwrap the grave clothes. And this wonderful, wonderful story of Lazarus being raised back to life again. And so part of the crowd that wants to see Jesus is also there because of Lazarus. So it's a great sort of great happening. And a couple of months ago now, I was invited up to Leeds to speak there of a sort of growing fellowship that had been planted in Leeds from one of the guys who used to lead the church in Oxford, a guy called Richard Colebrook. And I went up as sort of to do a bit of a workshop with my pastor, Steve Thomas, and I had the sketchboard in the morning and I was doing it to involve the children. And I was speaker number two, really, so, you know, because Steve was the main person doing the speaking. And Richard introduced me, said, "This is Roger." Says, "Roger used to be a pastor many years ago in a place called Aston and Cote." And he was known for praying for people and so had seen some things happen. And when our son was born, in hospital, they took some tests after a few weeks because they were worried about his hearing in his left ear. And what they found was, when they put the grafts for the hearing up, his right ear was perfect hearing, his left ear, no hearing at all. And he showed it on the screen sort of with the electrodes in, and they showed that there was no hearing at all. And so Richard said, "We're not having this. I'll get Roger to come and pray with me." So we went, I got a call and we went to his room. There was his little son asleep in the cot. And Richard whispered, he says, "We can pray quietly, but it would be good not to wake him." So we crept in, and I'd just been reading about the way Jesus healed the deaf person, and he put his finger in his ear. So very, very quietly, I put my finger in his ear. I didn't wake him. And we thought, let's do what Jesus did. Jesus commanded the deaf spirit to leave. So we quietly commanded the deaf spirit in little baby to go. In Jesus' name, deaf spirit, go! Like that. I'd learned to do that from a guy called Ian Andrews, the go bit at the end. And the little, when we went go like that, the little baby went like that. And he didn't wake up. You know, my big thing was not to wake the baby. Anyway, Richard said, a couple of days later, they went back for retest so that they would understand and know how to cope with the deafness. And when they put the monitors on, the right ear went up. And the doctor said, now you will see the graph on the left ear go right down at the bottom and it will show there's no hearing. And as he put the electrodes in and everything, and his left ear went whoop up and blue lee 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 like that. Perfect hearing. Richard was overjoyed. And he phoned me up. And I was over. Now, he introduced the meeting like this. And I had people's attention. And so as I spoke, and do you know what happened to me as I heard those words? Emotion filled me up. I just started crying. I had to get them quickly cleared because I was speaking. And I was crying. This is what in my heart. Went like this. That was not me. That was God. There's a little verse. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so I thought, listen, there's no power here. There's no electricity or stuff in here. We're just lining up with a God who loves to heal from the scriptures. We're lining up with what he wants to do in a moment. And we're just speaking some words, his words. And there, that little baby got his hearing. Richard said, he phoned me up and said, Roger, I'm eating a cream bun and I'm celebrating because his little baby, he says, he has complete, his hearing has been completely restored. Now, what I'm trying to get across to you is this. Jesus loved doing miracles. Sometimes he told the people he did the miracles with. Now, don't say anything to anybody because the time wasn't right. But when it comes to Lazarus, the word, he didn't say that about Lazarus. The word gets out, it spreads everywhere, and the crowds came. They wanted to see a sight that they would have never seen. A man 4 days dead, raised to life, healthy and well. And the leaders of that time, they didn't like it because there was a moving away from their group to this wonderful Jesus. And so Jesus comes into Jerusalem with all of this having just happened. Let's go on. Let's go on with the reading. The next day, the great crowd who'd come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a donkey and sat on it, as it is written. Now, the other Gospels tell how he got that donkey and how he went to the disciple. But John just says Jesus found him, and he found him through sending the disciple and everything else. You get the fill in of the story. But he sat on it, and as it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continue to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Aren't these great words? Isn't it lovely? This isn't just a little thing happening in a corner. Your faith and your love for Jesus isn't something that of no significance. A little thing, you know, when some friends and young people become Christians, and I think, well, this happened to my wife, Di. She came to the Lord. Nobody in the family were Christians. They weren't churchgoers at all. And they said, "I think this will be one of Di's passing phases." 60 years later, she's still going strong in her faith. So this is no little side thing. This is something that goes across the world. Every tribe, every nation, and people are coming to him. The Bible Society has just produced some figures and some recent sort of polls that have been done. And, you know, people are always talking about numbers in the churches are going down, 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 etc. The tide has turned. And in many groups, especially younger people, more people are coming to church than ever. And figures are going up. And there's a tide that's been turning. Anyway, so... Let's look at this a little bit more and just pick out some points. This day of Palm Sunday was a celebration. It's a celebration of these people realizing who Jesus is. Now, they didn't get the whole picture, but they've got some of the picture. And the first thing they realize is he's the one who saves. So they shouted out, "Hosanna! Save! Save!" It was a cry as well. We need saving, but you're the one who's the Savior. Secondly, they realize that he's the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And many, many of them are saying, "This is the Messiah. He's the one. He's the one that was sent. He's the one that is the one to come, the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And thirdly, he's the king. He's the king. He's the great king that was to come. And he's bringing his kingdom in. And he's the king right here. He's the king of Israel. They were just thrilled, and they shouted, and they got their palm branches. The palm branches are associated with victory, of celebrating victory, and so they were celebrating powerfully. They were shouting out. The leader said, "Stop these people! Stop them, Jesus! Stop them from crying out!" And Jesus, this is one of the other gospels, he says, "Listen, if they are silenced, the stones will cry out." Sometimes it's good to raise our voices, to have a shout. You know, we have quiet times. You know, in the morning, you have a quiet time. Sometimes those quiet times could be shouting times. We worship a great king, and sometimes it's good to have a shout time as well as a quiet time. And they were rejoicing. They were celebrating. Now, what you would expect next, what's going to be the next step? They're getting that Jesus is coming, and they're shouting, "He's the king, the palm branches." And then what does he do? Is he going to bring a great chariot? And they'll find that behind the scenes, you know, there's going to be a great army that destroys the Roman Empire. No, destroys the Roman occupation. Is he going to lead that? Is he going to help get the political scene all sorted out? And they're going to do the job. He's going to come and do the job. What does he do? He comes on a donkey. It's weird, isn't it? So the Palm Sunday is a weirder. He comes on a donkey, this little donkey. And the donkey, well, we've just read it, it speaks of lowliness, of humility. And I found this the other day. I thought it was fun. Lots of donkeys, and particular breeds of donkeys, do you know what they have on their back? There's lots of stuff about this. It doesn't say this in the Bible, but it's just an interesting little fact. There's a little crisscross, a cross right on the back of a donkey. And this is what it says. This happening was fulfilling a prophecy that was 500 years before. 450, 500 years before in the book of Zechariah. And he prophesies and says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout loud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Let me just quickly try and outline three aspects that I just felt stirred about as I read this. Number one, this riding in on a donkey is about, it combines the two, this great celebration and then speaking about the powerfulness and the wonder and all that wonderful stuff. It's speaking about victory. It's victory. And it combines the two, victory. I'm helping a person back in Oxfordshire. It's a friend of a family, and this guy he's done some things in his life that are terrible, and he's a criminal. And he hasn't been to prison, but he's got a suspended sentence over him. And as a result of this, he realizes his foolishness and the wickedness of what he's done. And as many people, when they realize what they've done, they are suicidal. You know, this is just terrible. And so I managed to ring him up and say, "Would you like us to come across and see you?" He said, "Yeah, have you got the time?" So I arranged to go and see him, and we sit down, and he's talking about what he's done and now the mess of his life. His marriage will probably end or could end. His children, his community where he lived, he had to move away quickly, and it's a horrible mess. And I was trying to encourage him. Do you know, Jesus forgives. He forgives everyone. He forgives every sin. And we're sitting down, and as we're talking, I say, what's the picture you see? And he says, "I see a picture of a black, heavy cloud, dark, heavy cloud over me, and no hope at all." And then we talk a bit more, and I ask him, "Have you confess what you've done to another Christian?" He says, no, I've just talked to the Lord about it. I say, "Okay, let's spend some time praying." And he prays out the things that he's done, and he confesses them, and at the end of the confessing, he renounces what he's done. He'll say he'll never turn back to it, and they'll say, "Please, Lord, would you come now and bring your forgiveness?" And we speak the forgiveness. That's how Jesus tells us to do, to go and forgive anyone who confesses a sin, forgive them their sins. So we speak forgiveness over him and declare it. And after a while say, "Okay, let's ask the Lord, what picture do you see?" And he says, "I see a forest, a dark forest. But at the edge of the forest, I see some light shining in at the edge of the forest. And I'm going towards that light. And I said, well, that's a bit better. Come on then, let's do some more. And we did some more stuff, and he got some more stuff out. And we began to talk about the possibility of living for the future and not just finishing in darkness. And he begins to say, well, I don't know if it's possible, but I'm going to go for it. And he speaks out words that embraces the future. And I say, okay, let's ask the Lord again. Just go quiet again. Just pray again. And says, what do you see now? And he says, I see a place where light is shining in. And I say, the darkness is going. And I see before me that there could be a future. And I feel hope come. And I was sitting there, this is more like it. We're seeing some breakthrough. We're seeing victory. No, it didn't stop there. I go each week and see this guy now, and we're doing Freedom in Christ together. Good course, this course. And he's getting more, and he's embracing bits more of the course. And victory is happening. Victory is coming. See, God wants there to be victory. Now, quickly, two more little bits, and then we're finished. And this is part two. They see salvation. Salvation is coming. And they say, Hosanna, the one who saves, salvation. And Jesus then rides on a donkey and shows this humble, lowly, different way to bring about the purposes of God and his purpose. When we were in our first church, we had a phone call at 3 o'clock at night. I was asleep. The phone just begins to ring and doesn't stop. And then she says, do we need to pick it up? So I pick it up, and there's a girl at the end of the phone. She says, can I speak to Di, please? This is my wife. I say, yeah. Do you know what the time is? She says, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I know, but I'm in trouble. And so Di gets onto the phone, and she says, the girl goes, I've done some stuff which I shouldn't have done. And then I got all fearful, and I started reading my Bible, and my Bible dropped on the floor, and it's opened at this verse. It's opened at this verse in Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation, humble. It says, and I can't get away from it. It's just stuck in my mind. It says, what does it mean? 3 o'clock at night. And she, my wife says, it means Jesus wants to come in your life and forgive you and cleanse you. I thought so, she says. She's crying on the phone. So at 3 o'clock at night, Di leads her in a prayer of salvation and commits her life to the Lord. And then a couple of days later, we have her around to our place, and we do it properly. You know, at 5 o'clock at night, not at 3 o'clock in the morning. And she begins to sort out her life and live rightly. She's still going on with the Lord. And he brings salvation. And thirdly, he brings humility, humbly, lowliness. You know, the people of God, the good news people of God, don't actually bring their message with arrogance and unpleasantness and accusation and judgment. They bring their message with humility, because we've all sinned. We've all got it wrong in our lives, and we've all at times done the things we shouldn't have done. And so we bring the message with humility. There was a group I was part of when I was at college. I went along for a little while to an Anglican church, and they had a house party. And I couldn't go for the whole weekend, but I went up for one of the days, mixed with this house party, and they were having a lot of fun and doing a lot of stuff. But there wasn't great, you know, presence of God around. They just had lots of fun stuff, and they were doing stuff together. And I came back, and I got a bit opinionated. And I said I was in a group in a meeting, and I was talking, and they said, "You know that church?" And I go along to this Anglican church. I don't think, it's my opinion, is God is not going to bless this church because they don't give time to the Lord. There's half of them are divorced and broken, and they're sort of just, you know, into new relationships. He says, in my opinion, God is not going to bless this church at all. And there was just a little pause, and the older guy, lovely guy, full of wisdom, he said this, "Do you know what? When it comes to God blessing a place, Roger's opinion doesn't matter." And I went, and I thought about it. I teared up, actually, and I thought, you know, he's right. God will bless who he blesses. God will touch who he touches. God will do it, whether it's my opinion or not. A week later, I was leading the Christian Union at the college I was at, and the secretary, she was working hard to get things going, and somebody laid into her and really said a whole lot of horrible things about the inefficient job, la da 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 da, and it said it to her. It really rocked this lovely girl and this secretary who'd been working hard, and she just lost confidence, and then she told. I said, "What's wrong?" And he says, "There was a guy. His name, I won't say his name. I'll call him Philip. Philip said to me this, this, and this, and this." And I looked at her and said, "Philip's opinion doesn't matter." Now, I could say that because I'd taken on board that my big opinion didn't matter. And she lighted up. And we prayed, and she was fine. You know, the people of God carry the same spirit Jesus carried. Humility. He came lowly. He wants us to come lowly. So, let's finish. See, this message was meant to go around the whole world. Look how the whole world has gone after him. We are good news people in a bad news world. We want to carry a different spirit, full of victory, full of salvation, full of humility, and go and carry it to others. He wants us to carry it. Amen? Palm Sunday people, people of victory, people of salvation, people of humility. Good news in a bad news world. I just want to finish and just say, God's here to help people this morning. And he wants to, I was just praying a bit earlier at home and then on the way. This is a bit of an odd one. I woke up, I had a dream about this last night. There's somebody who's heard about a trip. I'll say it as it is. I find it difficult to say it, but here we go. I felt the Lord say, "Go on, do it." And there's somebody who's heard about a trip to Bethel. And Bethel is wonderful work going on. And our group of churches has linked up a bit to try and receive from them and have them across and go over there to Bethel as some groups to imbibe something of the love, the victory, and the healing that's there. And somebody's heard about it, and they felt initially, "Oh, let's go." And then they saw the price, and they thought, "No way." And I felt God say, whoever it is, God has purposes for you going there, and he is going to provide. He will find a way of providing. So if that's you, just come and chat or chat to your leader about it. But God wants that to happen. Number two, somebody here, you have stomach cramps, and there's an unusual cramping that you have often, much more regularly than you should. And there's pain there, and God wants to touch it. He wants to come and bring his healing, and there's going to be a greater peace in your life when he touches that. Somebody else has come today, and you know you're a bit under par, and you've got some mouth ulcers, and God wants to come and touch you and bring healing. Somebody else has come, and this is a season when a lot of people have itchy eyes, but this person, you have real problems each morning waking up with your eyes are red and itchy, and he wants to touch something and release you from it. There's a victory is coming. Somebody else has come, and you've got a skin complaint. You've treated it many times, but it's come back again, and you're disappointed because this skin condition has come back again. God loves to bring healing, and this is about you've been going through a bit of an insecure time. He wants to bring healing. Two more, and then I'm finished. There's somebody here. This does not apply to anybody that's married, okay? But there's somebody here who has embarked on a relationship with someone, and you realize this isn't quite right, but you because you've embarked on it, you can't get out of it. You feel you can't get out of it. And God is saying, before you go down further in this relationship, he wants you to stop, get a little bit of help, come back so that you can choose a kingdom way rather than just company. He is wanting to help you. And then the other thing I said, I just feel there's, I don't know, I just felt him say, there are 9 people here with bad backs. Now, this is what I like to do, that it will be good just to pray for these backs and just ask God, because he's here. It's Palm Sunday. He's just done miracles with Lazarus. He wants that same spirit amongst us, the miraculous. So, put up your hand if one of those words was similar or could have been you. Now, I've done all of them together, so don't feel embarrassed. You know, somebody's looking at you thinking, oh, I wonder what they are. No, just be a back or something like that. So if one of those words is you, just put up your hand. Great. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Brilliant. We've got, sometimes I go and there's nobody puts up their hand. I've got nobody to pray with. But I've got 12 people here, and our friends here have a team who pray with people as well. So Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Would you bring about your purposes, your healing, the good news that you're bringing. Help us to be good news people in a bad news world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.